Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show. It's the Sunday edition here in Houston today, and we're glad you could tune in with us, but we will warn you, just because you hear something you like, think it might fit your facts and circumstances, please go check with your existing advisors and make sure that you heard the information correctly and that it actually applies and will be something that's beneficial, more importantly. For those of you that don't have advisors, you can go to our website, beaplanner.com. That's beaplanner.com. And top right, you're going to see two links, the rightmost links. One of them is forms. That's got our intake forms that will provide us with enough information to talk coherently with you about your facts and circumstances and maybe spur some near-term thought on our behalf of strategies that might work to benefit you. And then secondly, the far right link is a call link that will send you to our call scheduler where you can book a introductory call. We'll be happy to do that free of charge so we can get to know each other a little bit and we can decide if perhaps there's a fit for us to help you achieve your wealth objectives. And in any event, we appreciate you tuning in. Whether you connect with us or not, we hope you learned something. And while we hope the content may be of some entertaining value, this is anything but entertainment. I hear other shows talk about how their real estate content is really, it's just for entertainment. You know, don't look too close, but nothing to see here, you know, that kind of thing. And maybe it's best that they do give that disclaimer because there are some other folks in this business, i.e. those that analyze or otherwise promote or sell or charge, you know, organizational membership fees for you to join their group and then invest in their syndications, be they exclusive to that platform or a platform that allows third parties to pay a fee to come in and promote their projects. We do none of that. We are CPAs. We are not syndicators. We are investors, and I'll always disclose when we talk about a transaction that I or Dan have invested in, just so you understand. And it's kind of like Donald Trump's disclaimer. He's apparently stamped on all these statements of financial condition, you know, you do your own due diligence, and I'm going to tell you that you do your own due diligence, but you know, this is what we did in certain cases. And you know, we're pretty careful about the ones we opine on for clients as well as ourselves. And then further, we're starting to work more and more in the small apartment space where it's just yourself and maybe four or five other partners. It doesn't have near the fee load or fee drain or dilution involved. And I think that's probably going to be what a lot of people pivot to because I think people's eyes will be open. This latest little bump in the road is going to thin out the syndicator ranks. And, you know, there's some of the top, what you would think would be the top syndicators that are on the ropes right now, in trouble, and it's not going to end pretty. And we haven't begun to see the decimation that's going to happen in the multifamily market. We're there on office. If you follow any of the office market news, it's absolutely abysmal. Valuations have dropped over half just in the last 6 months to a year. And while apartments have not experienced that yet, it's tightening. And what you have to remember, and you can go back and listen to some of our shows a couple years ago when we started seeing the significant number of projects that were structuring their capital stack with a lot of three-year bridge debt that has to be refinanced in either three, or if they execute the extension options, they can get a couple more years. But that's at a cost. Those extensions are usually 1% of the loan cost. And the problem is, if you've got variable rate debt, even if you have a rate lock, there, you know, when you do a rate lock, you pay for the rate amount. So you could be fine for the first five clicks that the Fed adjusts the Fed funds rate by, and then, you know, everything that's connected starts moving in unison. You know, all the mortgage rates on commercial real estate, or a lot of them, at least anybody that's got bridge debt is going to be holding their breath. Well, you know, gee, how many more clicks might happen? Will we get into the money, so to speak? But my point is, when it comes to paying for those extensions, you may not be in a cash flow position. There are syndicators that are having to chip in several hundred thousand dollars a month just to cover the debt service. And those projects have no money to pass out or distribute to the passive partner group. And so, you know, when you get the notice that, hey, we're having a cash call, as is happening often now, you need to be careful. You need to analyze that cash call just like you analyze the upfront decision to even invest. In other words, you got to look at, well, what am I getting out of this transaction over the, you know, the long haul from start to finish? How much am I getting? And I'll almost promise you, your equity multiple is going to be lower. And it's very easy to calculate the equity multiple. You look at the total that you're going to get out over the life of that investment distributed to you, including your return of principal, and you divide that by the amount you originally invested. And you can compare what it was at the outset versus what it's projected to be. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would not put good money after bad in most cases. Now, there may be some cases where you don't have or seemingly you might not have a choice. God forbid you happen to be joint and several on the debt that's part of the transaction. Most passive investors are not, and I don't think I've got a client that's currently joint and several. And that basically means you're personally guaranteeing the loan, and I don't mean just if the bookkeeper absconds with the money. That would be the KP, or key principal, qualified non-recourse type guarantee. Those aren't nearly as sticky, not a technical term, but pretty appropriate, as the joint and several variety are. And those are the ones that you literally will file bankruptcy over if it's, you know, a true recourse transaction and you're on 100% of the debt. What I would suggest to you, if you're ever in that situation, and I guess it would probably be more in the context of a building or a lease for your own business where the landlord is insisting that you personally guarantee those funds, is negotiate that. Don't, you know, if you're a tenant, for you to go on the hook for the entirety of the lease payments over the lease term, which is what most landlords will ask for, that's insane. It's like, you know, they're going to spend X to build out your space. Let's say it's a $40,000 build out. It'd be a, you know, small, or, you know, maybe a 5,000 square foot or under space. Don't give them a guarantee for every month of rent. They'll be able to re-let that property, certainly, and pick up additional rental dollars. Offer to guarantee the amount of the build-out. That's rational. And, you know, I know when I my first office lease way back in 1984, we had to do that, but we limited it to the amount of the build-out. And most landlords will do that. They'll understand you know what you're doing. And, of course, this is all discussed pre-move-in, obviously. So you've still got a little bit of leverage left, especially if it's 1984. You know, for all you old folks like me, you realize that was coming right into the lowest of the low points of the recession back then. It was horrible, and in any event. Okay, well, let's talk about a news article or two. Here we've got a few minutes before the break. Let's look at, I added a couple articles since Friday, and, you know, we've got one article about the influx of new apartment buildings coming online, or new units, well, new apartment buildings and new units, and 2025, we're going to see quite a few new units. And don't forget, we have another article from Friday that's kind of on a same tangent, where they talk about the let's see, that article was the one that says, let's see, there's two factors that are driving regional multifamily differences in terms of performance. And essentially, the vacancy rate is a big one. In other words, if you look at the national average, you're going to see a number that's higher than if you look at several of the metros that are embedded in the national. And, you know, where you've got increased population growth along with a tightening supply, those are the markets that are doing better. So don't be misled by the national news. Look at where you're investing and understand, as an example, San Antonio has significant incoming relocations, and their occupancy rates their vacancy rates, I guess, be the flip side of occupancy, have remained fairly stable. Now, truthfully, they do have 18,000 new units scheduled to hit the market here in 2024. I believe it's Q1 or Q2, first quarter or second quarter. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, provided the move-ins continue, they should be fine. But in any event, this article is one that you ought to set to the side. And as you think about joining into some additional private partnership syndication investments, multifamily, just be sure you're looking at a project that's in an area that's got at least perceived upside with people like, this is a Globe Street article. They tend to be a pretty straight shooter when it comes to projections, and make sure, again, that you're not stepping off the plank, so to speak. Let's see here. I was trying to look and see. The article, for the most part, is talking about the end of the fourth quarter, the end of 2024 is when you should see the uptick in deliveries. So, again, it just depends on where you're at in the country. And I know in San Antonio's case, they've got stuff coming. Most of those 18,000 units should be on the ground, ready for move-in I believe it's first quarter, but maybe second quarter at the worst. Anyway, let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll be back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, momentarily. Oh, there he goes. Okay, we'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about where you're going. There's a word unto the wise. You better get to living.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
The song, Bobby McGee. I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and vague dreams. And there are many just like me
with big dreams and vague dreams.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we were just talking about some of the current news, and it just dawned on me, I forgot to tell you where you too can go look at these articles. I've got a companion site for the radio show. It's called BeAPlannerShow.com. Very creative, I know. I am an accountant, so bear with me. But in any event, these articles are on the resources page, and then we've actually got some at the top of that page that I've pinned them because they're I don't want to say they're oldies but goodies, but they may not have happened in the last month. Some of them have, but they need to be kept at the forefront to remind us of key data regarding either the investment space or the tax brackets, which have recently been adjusted in some cases kind of significantly. I mean, they're all based on inflation, so I guess it's all the same relative percentages. But, you know, depending on where you fall on those brackets, it could represent a much less or much higher, and that's incremental. tax rates. And I hear discussions of this all the time where they do an example and they just assume they apply the entire whatever the new bracket rate is to all of your taxable income. And that doesn't that's not how it happens. But for those of you that might be interested in projecting your forward-looking tax situation, we will offer, if you'll fill out our forms, let us review those, and we will likely offer you the chance to, for no charge, to have us model your forward-looking tax bite. And we've got a software system we use that lets us break that down by income stream. So if you're in, you know, you get, let's say you got three or four rental properties, you've got maybe three or four real estate private partnership syndications, we can project each of those as a separate income stream and keep up with where you're headed passive income and loss wise, so that we help you understand, hey, this deal looks like it's going to be selling this upcoming year. You need to be looking for another transaction to replace that with. In other words, your funds will be coming back, plus a gain, hopefully. And the goal is to mitigate the gain on the existing partnership that's being liquidated and replace it with one that's generating significant tax write-offs. And these transactions are all a bit different. You can't just assume, oh, I had a 90% write-off of the last $100,000 I invested in year one. Not that you might not have been able to use it. You had to have passive income. But in the situation where you're exiting a partnership, and this is the key words, that has a gain, you can likely offset much of that gain if you pick the right new investment that's got, you know, cost segregation being undertaken. It will still have some bonus depreciation, although bonus depreciation is starting to phase out. The first 20% goes away here in the current year. And in any event, you know, there's still significant dollars that are being reported out to investors on some transactions. And again, a lot of times the sales huff that you hear on the investment webinar does not check out when it comes to your specific facts and circumstances. I can't mention that enough. I've had clients, we've got one of the largest real estate private partnership syndication / mentor platforms right here in Houston, and they consistently provide amateur tax advice. And I'm going to stop for a second and refer to the former Houston oil well firefighting legend, Red Adair. Some of you may be too young to remember Mr. Adair, but he was known the world over and was the subject of the movie that John Wayne starred in called Hellfighters, which was filmed right there in Baytown, or at the edge of Baytown. I remember as a 8 or 9 year old, my dad taking us over there to watch, and we actually got to watch some of the acting. You know, it was. I mean, at the time, I was really too young to appreciate who the legendary John Wayne was, much less Red Adair. But anyway, Red Adair had an expression. He said, you know, if you think the professionals are expensive, just try the amateurs. And I'm going to tell you, when you've got some amateurs, and that's what I'm going to refer to Self-Made Millionaires platform as, they will tell you, hey, just cash your 401 out to get control of it. You don't really need, or you'll get back more gains or income to replace that tax bite. Well, you know, that's such insane, to use their words, that's insanity when you think about someone, just somebody that has, say, $350,000 in their 401, when you cash that out, you've let go of probably $95,000 to $100,000 to the IRS. And the last time I checked, the IRS doesn't pay you any type of ROI on that money. And so that's, it's gone. And when I hear that advice, I just shake my head. And it's not like they don't know better. I've had detailed discussions with Self-Made Millionaire. I know he's math challenged. He said it himself, so I'd give him the benefit of the doubt if I wasn't handing him the math. And what I would specifically draw your attention to is, let's assume you buy into that notion that, hey, I should pay tax on this. I got an idea for you. How about we convert to Roth and you send the same amount of money? Actually, it'd be less money if you waited until you rolled it over to self-directed 401 that we employ, invested in these transactions, and then you convert to Roth. You're going to get to apply private company discounts to the value that you invested to calculate the tax that's going to be due the IRS. Now think about this. If you were to convert to Roth when your money's sitting in your Schwab account or Fidelity or whoever is administering your employer's 401, you're going to pay tax based on the value at the end of the business day. You know, what the market end at on specific stocks. So you're going to be paying, let's take effectively $1 million and use that math. It's easier and it's more impressive than $100,000. That'd be the other amount that's easy. But in any event, let's say you have $1 million. And before we talk about converting, just curious, if I ask you, well, how much money do you have in your 401 for retirement? And you're, in some cases, proudly, just because you haven't checked, you haven't gotten the memo yet on what I'm getting ready to tell you. And I'm going to suggest, you're going to tell me you got $1 million. I'm going to say, no, you don't. You're not getting $1 million out. If you got $1 million in there, your silent partner has a chunk that you don't know. We can't define how much it is unless we do a Roth conversion now. Or you take the amateur advice, the amateur hour at Self-Made Millionaire's platform, and you go ahead and pay tax on it by taking it out, liquidating the account. For some reason, Self-Made Millionaire doesn't get it when it comes to Roth versus traditional 401s. He's unaware, apparently, that you can control your money. You can invest it in real estate, and you can retire and or do whatever makes you happy, is what I suggest. And this is the part he doesn't understand. He's okay up to three. He counts pretty well up to three, but he doesn't do well after that. The fourth thing that our advice will deliver is tax-free income off of these investments the rest of your life. Think about that. You're getting above average rates of return in most cases, and you're getting it tax-free. What's not to like? And you're controlling it. Pardon me if my voice gets high. I get excited when I talk about this strategy. I myself executed this strategy on my private company investments. And, you know, it's amazing how the planets align with regard to this strategy. But I have talked till I'm blue in the face with Self-Made Millionaire, long phone calls, and again, he's okay up to about three, and then he seemingly doesn't understand tax-free. It just makes me wonder, what else is he getting wrong on all the advice they give with respect to real estate? And I'm not going to say they're getting it all wrong, because I'm a big fan of Self-Made Millionaire's platform when it comes to the way they rein in the lead partners on how much fees they can charge. And then I also like the fact that their transactions are exclusive to their platform. And I understand, for those of you that are being asked to write the $20,000+ check, you're saying, well, wait a minute, you know, why is that a good thing? Well, it's a good thing because you've got a deal flow that comes through the platform. Unfortunately, you still need people like us that understand syndications and understand your options when you're ready to invest. And I'll give you a suggestion or a illustration right now. You've got multiple transactions on the amateur hour platform, self-made millionaires platform, that are seeking cash calls right now. And it's because they were using irrational pro forma numbers, especially when it comes to the cap rate, the exit cap rate. And we've been, Dan and I have been pointing that out for a long time. And it was odd that every transaction that came through Self-Made Millionaires platform, and most of the ones outside of the platform, to be fair, except I hold him more accountable because he does understand the concept of a cap rate. And I assume, because he's been doing this a long time, he understands the impact of inflation. So how he could have been asleep at the switch, you know, watching these syndications come out of his program that were showing, yeah, we're buying this property at a 4.5 or 4 or 5 cap rate, and oh yeah, 5 years later we're going to sell it at a 4 or 4.5 cap rate. No, you're not. And he's smart enough to know that. And it's only recently that he's woken up. He's woke now to the concept of incorrect or improper assumptions on cap rates. But it's a little bit too late. The cows are out of the barn. There's cash calls being required. And I would just tell you, cash calls, I'm not going to say they should never happen, but they shouldn't happen for the reasons they're happening now. There were plenty of information out in the public domain about what was going on with inflation, with interest rates. And, you know, the problem is when you're competing in a tight market for investor money, you're not going to be the one that gets a lot of takers if you're showing a higher cap rate on exit. Let's assume you're buying at 4.5 and then you're going to exit at 6. You better ask for a lot more capital than the guy that's saying, hey, or the gal that's saying, we're going to sell at a 4.5% cap rate, because just that 2% or 1.5% incremental will wipe out the cash flow at the end that the passive is requiring to get their money back. And I know that that platform is famous in their workshops and training for saying that their model of syndication is so much more moral, is so much more righteous and ethical, et cetera, because they don't allow the big fees on the front end. And yeah, that's correct. Kudos to the amateurs. But again, not understanding math all that well, they totally overlooked the fact that they're allowing the syndicators to start sharing in distributions from day one. And so there's a lot of the capital that gets diluted not on day zero at closing, like some of the transactions that are going on elsewhere in the country, but a lot of those transactions that take the heavy fee drain, they don't start getting distributions until they've gotten the investor either all of their initial capital back or a pretty substantial chunk. And so when I hear the self-made millionaire platforms say, well, we're more ethical, we're more moral, and I'm thinking, no, you're not. You're different. Just like Mac and Windows. One's not better than the other. They're different. That's all it is. And if you're a layperson and you've drank the Kool-Aid of self-made millionaires platform, well, then you don't really focus on these details. You're looking at, well, this is a transaction that's coming from a member of this group. Surely it's been vetted appropriately. Surely the mentors involved have maybe not blessed the transaction. I wouldn't go that far, but they've been told about it. They've been told about the metrics of it, the math. And so I would suggest that's a checklist item, should be on their review list. But oddly enough, from deal to deal to deal that came out of that platform last, you know, for the last year and a half to 2 years, oddly doesn't show any increase at all in the cap rate on exit until very recently. And I think that's because they finally see that they've got transactions in trouble and they're going to need cash calls. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take our final break, and we will return momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner Show, the Sunday edition with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And we've been talking about some of the issues with the current, I'm going to say current, being the last several years of partnership transactions that have been made available for people to invest in. And by the way, the commercial that just played at the break where we talk about you understand, excuse me, where you need to understand what you're signing up for. That's what we do. And we can't predict the future clearly at all, other than we know what the trends are. We know how to analyze the pro forma math that's in every PPM or operating agreement or investment webinar that takes place. And, you know, we look at a hypothetical $100,000 investor and we try to figure out if it's not provided, sometimes it's provided, how much money's going in, when it's going in, and of course, nobody ever shows a cash call in year three or four. It's always just the $50,000 or $100,000 up front, or whatever the amount is. It could be less in some cases, and then we want to see, well, how much do we get distributed to our client in year one or year three, et cetera, because that's what allows us to basically compare apples and apples from transaction to transaction to transaction. And if you understand that, then you go look at the assumption set, you know, what type of rental growth rate is being projected. Is that logical? Is it logical that I saw a deal here recently that was projecting a 24% first year jump in the rental rate? I don't know. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm just saying for you to pro forma that and show that to an investor that you're, again, appealing to, you're effectively soliciting funds from that party, that's pretty risky. And that's what syndicators get sued over later, is saying one thing and then it being not just a little wrong, let's just say it's a lot off or a lot wrong, then, you know, you kind of watch things in reverse, you rewind the tape, and it's like, well, wait a minute, this is off by a lot. You know, I don't think those numbers were good numbers, and then you get into, well, did they know or didn't they know, and why did that happen? So, you know, we want to look at the growth rate assumptions given the market, given the submarket, given the age of the property, given the nature of the what we call CapEx, which would be the renovations, how much is being done to that property to bring it up to market with the current amenity set that's being put into these new apartment buildings. Are the stainless appliances going in? Is the bark park for the dogs in place? Which, by the way, bark parks are a good way to get your dog mauled if you got I'm going to be gentle here. My Pomeranian is sitting right here listening. He's not an animal, by the way. He's a toddler. Okay, he runs our household. He's got an intellect that far exceeds most, quote, dogs, end quote. But I see people take their dogs to these dog parks, and I just cringe, because dogs aren't people. They don't necessarily understand. I don't care how well behaved your dog is, just watch. You know, they see another dog and they see something different than you and I do. They see a dog that's got his chest puffed out and tail straight up and, you know, snorting out his nostrils, and that dog's gonna maul something. And that's when you pick your dog up, if they're small enough to pick up. And that's a good thing about a Pomeranian at 7 pounds. He's a one-hand scoop, and he's not going to fight me picking him up, even though he does think he's a Rottweiler in his own head, right? But anyway, bark parks are a big deal. Entertainment rooms, big deal. Wood-like flooring, big deal. Covered parking, some garages. These are all things that, depending on how much money is going to be spent on CapEx, moves the needle to the point where you can take a 60-year-old apartment building and make some of these changes. And you're not going to turn it into an A or A-minus class property, but you might get up there to a C-plus, maybe a B-minus, but unlikely unless it's just a super-duper location, and then that could happen. And I would tell you that in my own investing, I will pay you more. I'll incur a higher acquisition cost for a better location, because better locations will stay rented and they'll appreciate faster. And you know, I can prove it with some of my own investments, and I can prove it with client investments that I've watched over the years. And you know, it's a kind of a safety net that underpins the project being successful. I mean, you know, I know in one case I'm in a transaction that is a driver and a pitching wedge from downtown Houston. And that property, if you tore all the buildings down, the land value alone in 5 years would probably exceed what the all-in cost was for everything. And so that gives you some confidence. It's not a guarantee, certainly, but at least you've got some idea that the project is going to be worth something. Let's see. I wanted to mention one other thing, and I really enjoy looking at this. I'm starting to do it every week, but pinned at the top of our resources page with the news articles down below is the U.S. Debt Clock at usdebtclock.org. And if you haven't looked at that, I would tell you it's worth a look-see, because if you don't feel nervous about what's coming tax-wise, we call it a tax train because that's really what it is. It is literally going to run people over. And I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican. It doesn't matter. This is math. Math, it does not have, last time I checked, a political affiliation. And some people might say, well, yeah, but you know, that one party, and you could pick either one of them, they tend to borrow more to execute their policies, whether it's military or small business funding or being more green. I mean, you can go left, right, and I'll just tell you, they all have run the deficits up equally. There's really no good guy in the bunch. And it's only recently that you're starting to see a few outliers talk about, well, gee, has anybody noticed what the national debt is up to now? It's crazy how high it's gotten. As I'm looking at the current clock, and it's like a pinball machine, it's just calculating it real time. We are now at $33,700,000,000, almost $38 billion. And for those of you that say, well, you know, that doesn't really apply to me, that actually is $259,000, 105,903 per taxpayer. Welcome to your legacy for your kids, right? And it's just, it's crazy. The current year amount of interest that we will spend, let's see, it's right at $1 trillion. I was just looking for the number. Just, this is up, I believe it's up to the minute. Gee, there's so many numbers on this screen, it's hard to tell you. Yeah, here we go. Current year interest on debt at the moment is $684 billion, with a B. The deficit at the end of 2023, that would have been the end of September, was $1,000,007. And I believe we're already $1,000,006,000. I'm sorry, I said $1,000,007,000. I'm in $1,000,007,000 at the end of September, fiscal year 23. We're already looking, I believe we're at $1.6 trillion into the current year. And it's just, it's amazing. And when you look at the, this site has a time machine where you can go look at the future. And I don't have that screen up and calculating. Let me let it get there. Oh, okay. Let's see here. I was going to look at what 2027 shows. Let's see here. It takes a little while for these screens to refresh. But if you go out to what they call the Budget Showdown 2027, and by the way, we think that 2029 is when you really, the rubber meets the road. That's when the U.S. will no longer be able to pay 100% of the interest on its treasury bonds. And when you can't do that, you won't be able to sell T-bills, one, for the rates that we currently sell them for. The rate will have gone up. And two, you may not be able to sell them as, in nearly the volumes that you're thinking. But in any event, the national debt is projected in 2027 to be $45 trillion. And by the way, that's still where we're paying, let's see, we're paying how much in interest at that point? I want to say it's about $3 trillion. Yeah, it's $3 trillion, just over $3 trillion per year. We're at a trillion now in just interest cost. Think about that. It's crazy. And at that point, your share of the national debt. Now, remember, we're only talking about the funded liabilities. We're not talking about the additional debt that we've committed to. You know, we've passed legislation. We've got, you know, Social Security being indexed at a certain rate, Medicare, et cetera. We're just talking about this $45 trillion is the stuff that, hey, we're already collecting tax revenues and spending, paying for it, right? It's the current year stuff. But the total U.S. debt, if you go to 2027, will be $148 trillion. I think currently they show it, I'm not back on that window, but they show it at $126 or so. And there's multiple economists that project, and in fact, on this site, you can look at CBO, that's Congressional Budget Office, versus the OB. Yeah, just drawing a blank. The OMB, Office of Management and Budget, versus what the U.S. debt clock folks think. And you'll see some pretty large disparities just because they all use different assumption sets. But in any event, the debt per taxpayer, 2027, will have gone up to $322,971 per taxpayer. So like it or love it, maybe lump it, just be aware the tax train's coming. If you're not converting Roth, you've only got a few years left to get it done with the tax rates on sale as they are now. Connect with us. Let us figure out how we can help get your income streams in retirement down to that zero. You heard it right. Zero tax rate. Okay, we're at the end of the show. Thank you for tuning in. We will be back this coming Friday at 11 a.m. We hope you'll join us right here on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas.
Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.